Hello, 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 and welcome, mamas, to another episode of Angel Moms Hopes of Heaven, brought to you by Alana Song, and I'm your host, Angela Presley. Today, I am so excited to welcome my guest, Whitney Sammarano, to the podcast. She's here to tell us her story about her son, help us heal, give us encouragement, and we are just so excited to hear your journey. Whitney, welcome, welcome, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Angela. I just love what you're doing with your podcast and helping lift up grieving moms, because it is so hard and it doesn't come with any kind of manual. I've heard you say that before. Yeah. And also, in a lot of cases, not all of them, but we don't see this coming. You definitely never give birth to your child expecting that someday you're going to be burying them first. Yeah. So it starts a complete new trajectory for your life. And we all just have to figure out for ourselves how to navigate that. And that can be really hard.
Yes, agree. Cool. We all are mamas, so we all want to hear about your baby, about the love, the light. Just go ahead and start telling us about your son.
Yeah, so I have twin boys, and when I was young, I always loved kids and dreamed of having a huge family. So when we found out I was pregnant with twins, I just remember being like, yeah, duh. I mean, of course I'm going to have twins. Like, that's totally on plan. And never once did I have any like anxiety or feel overwhelmed. And when the boys were born, they made it to 37 weeks and one day. And Orion was born first. He is baby A. And then Maverick is the second one, baby B. And I would always, when they were younger, I'd always say, oh, Orion's the big brother, the older one. And people would like laugh at me like, they're twins. What do you mean? But I delivered them naturally and they were 30 minutes apart. So in my mind, like Orion was, for 30 minutes, he was the first and only. And right when they were born, you could just tell Orion looked more like me. They were not identical twins. They were fraternal. And so although they looked very similar, they were, they didn't look exactly the same. And we didn't find out the genders for the babies when I was pregnant. I just wanted it to be a surprise. And I remember when I was pregnant, being so focused on just soaking up every moment of the present. And I didn't want to get sucked into, which is easy to do, spending all my time imagining what it was going to be like once the boys or the babies at the time were here. I wanted to be focusing on how it was feeling to be pregnant. And something that helped me with that was not knowing their genders, because I couldn't create a figmentary, future in my mind. So we had a list of like all these different names that were boys' names and girls' names and different combinations. Like if we had one boy and one girl, what would be the combos? And I remember after Orion was born, I immediately was like, I want to name him Orion. That was one of the names on the list. And we picked that name because it's a Greek name in origin and my family is Greek. And we just really, we liked it that it was unique, but it wasn't a name we had made up. Because my name is Whitney and that's unique, and their dad's name is unique as well. So we just wanted, our kids to have unique names. Yeah, so I remember immediately throwing my hat in the ring and being like, baby A needs to be Orion. That's my choice. And I remember telling their dad, my husband at the time, if you let me have Orion for baby A, then I'll let you pick whatever you want off the list. But like whatever you want for baby B, you can have free reign. And at the time, one of the names on the list was Rocky, which I was not a fan of, but it had significance with family. Actually, a cousin of my husband's who passed away in his 20s in a car accident. And so it meant something to you know, to their dad. And I remember thinking, like, I will surrender in this moment and allow my other child to be named Rocky. If that means that Orion can, you know, have the name Orion. And at the last minute, their dad changed his mind and picked a different name off the list, which was Maverick.
Oh.
And so that's how the boys got their names. And now in retrospect, I just realize, you know, that even that was like preordained mm-hmm. by the universe, because Orion is also the name of a popular constellation, and Orion's Belt, which is like a line of three stars. It's very recognizable. And we see it here where I live for about 6 months out of the year very clearly. Wow. And so it has just meant so much for that to be connected to his name, you know, and connected to him now. And people will tell me, like, they look up at the stars and they think of him. And it's brought a lot of comfort for myself and their dad to be able to, you know, look at the stars and think of Orion. So, but Orion and Maverick were both diagnosed with autism. Orion was actually diagnosed first at 18 months.
Okay.
And, you know, when they're your own children, you're just so close to it. So your perspective is not such that you see all the differences that, yeah. you know, that they have to other children, especially because they were my first. But other people, including like their pediatrician, recognize, you know, some developmental delays. And I always just looked at Orion and thought he just had so much joy and that he just couldn't contain all of it inside of his little body.
Yeah.
Because when he would get really excited about something, he would stand up and he would ball his little hands into fists and he would like pound on his own stomach and do this kind of like yelling / roar thing.
Yeah.
And it was so obvious to me, you know, what that was, like this feeling of just like, oh my gosh, I can't believe, you know, like, oh, it's amazing. And,
yeah.
and I remember one time somebody saying to me, oh my gosh, is he okay? Is he angry right now? Like, did we do something wrong? And being shocked because I never had gotten that impression from him. But something that was unique about him, despite having autism, was that he was very physically affectionate. He didn't make eye contact with people, but he loved to be picked up. And he, from a young age, would go up to literally anybody and just raise his arms up for like that universal signal of pick me up.
Yeah.
And some people would be a little alarmed, like, why is this random child, stranger child I don't know, trying to get me to pick them up? But moms, a lot of women would just be like, oh, you know, and he had these blonde curls that were like ringlets. And I mean, it was like a halo on his head. And people would ask me all the time, like, where did that come from in our, you know, family? And I have no idea. His brother also has curly hair, but it's more of a medium brown, which is similar to kind of my natural hair coloring. So he just looked like this little cherub, you know, child. And so women would pick him up. And I will never forget, a few weeks before he died in an accident, he had been at his daycare, and we'd gone to pick him up, and, you know, they'd come bring him out to the lobby because this was during COVID. He passed away in 2020. Mm-hmm. And they'd bring him out to the lobby, and there happened to be another mom there waiting to pick up her children. And Orion just made a beeline right past me to this woman and raised his arms up, and she picked him up. And when you picked him up, he would like cling to you almost like a little spider monkey or something. Like, he would hug, he would wrap into it. And I just remember her saying, oh my gosh, I don't even get love like this at home from my own children. Mm-hmm. Like, what a, you know, gift she recognized that was to have that. And, you know, that was just Orion. Like, that was just, and he was too young.
Yeah.
You know, he was nonverbal. He was 2.5 when he passed away. He was too young to understand from like a mental, logical place what he was imparting to people. But I believe like his soul was just an old soul. He understood like that he was just spreading this love and joy to everyone around him. And he very rarely was upset or had meltdowns. You know, it just wasn't like that for him. And maybe I mean, I don't know, maybe it would have been different later on, but I didn't get later on. I got, you know, the first 2.5 years, and that's what he was like. So, he passed away because, one night we were visiting at my mom's house and he woke up in the middle of the night, and he was always kind of like he was a late sleeper. Like, it took forever to get him to go to sleep, but then he normally would be a solid sleeper and wouldn't wake up through the night. And he was always like my sleepy bedhead in the morning, like waking him up, you know, 10 minutes before we had to run out the door because he insisted on sleeping. Whereas like Maverick had this natural body alarm that he would just awake at 5 a.m. every morning and like ready to roll. So, but that night Orion woke up in the middle of the night unexpectedly when everyone else was sleeping, and he made it out to the backyard, and I found him in the pool. And by the time I had found him, he was already at the bottom of the pool. Mm-hmm. So there just was no coming back from that. And he was 2.5. It was in June of 2020. And so, I mean, it was so hard. And you spend, I mean, every parent, every mom, I think, thinks about this, that like, it's your job to protect them. And especially when they're at such a young age, but really that never goes away. I mean, even when they're older, when they're making their own choices for themselves, you think like you should have done something. And I struggled with that for a really, really long time. For like the first 2 years, I couldn't talk about Orion. I, you know, didn't. And I told myself it was because I couldn't anticipate what other people would say. And that even well-intentioned people would sometimes say things that were very triggering for me. And so I told myself this story that it was because of everybody else that I had to just keep it private to myself. And I, the first year, I didn't sleep because, you know, it happened during the night. And so then I was terrified of sleeping, that something might happen to Maverick if I was asleep. I wouldn't take any kind of medication whatsoever because I was worried about being altered at all. And it was just really rough. I was diagnosed with PTSD, and I just basically, you know, your brain creates the reality that your body is living. And so every day my body was like reliving Orion's death, and I was just stuck in this horrible cycle. And it took a year of like grief counseling. And then eventually when I got to a point that I could handle it, I did EMDR therapy, and that really drastically helped with the flashbacks and the anxiety that I was always living with. And then at about, so that happened about the end of the first year. And then at 2 years, actually exactly on my birthday, I went to this conference randomly that was like for spiritual entrepreneurs. And I didn't even really know why I was there, because I was not an entrepreneur and I had no designs on becoming one. And something just told me like, Whitney, you need to go. I was really drawn to the speaker. Uh-huh. And so I went, and while I was there, I finally recognized that I was still holding on to shame and guilt. And that was what was really blocking me from being able to talk about Orion, because it didn't matter what anybody else said. They could say the most supportive thing, and all I heard was, why are you a mom who had a son that died?
Yeah.
Why did you have to bury a child? Like, I just kept holding on to this feeling that it was my fault, mm-hmm. and that I should have done something differently. Mm-hmm. And once I released that, it changed everything. I mean, it made me so much lighter. And I'll never forget when I was at the conference, you know, again, like I said, it wasn't for grief. And we're sitting down and we're doing this writing exercise, and he's asking us to talk about what is it that's holding us back in life in general. And so I'm journaling about, you know, Orion's death, and that I'm really just struggling with this. And I mean, it made me terrified to meet new people because I didn't want anyone to ask me,
right,
how many kids do you have? I didn't want to, and I didn't want to feel like I was lying or hiding Orion, but I also wasn't ready to talk about him. Mm-hmm. So it just, I mean, it impacted every piece of my life. And so I'm journaling about this. And then he says, okay, now you're going to pair up and you're going to share with the other person what you journaled that's holding you back. And I remember my first thought being like, nope, that's not happening. Like, this is not a grief conference. These people are not going to understand. They're probably journaling about, you know, how they're afraid to go out and make sales. And here I'm talking about like the death of my son.
Yeah.
And then right before he had us pair off, he's like, wait, but first, you know, there's too many people sitting in the back row. I'm going to have everybody move and fill all these seats in the front. And so I was already sitting next to a woman that I had met who coincidentally, I met her at the beginning of the conference. I went by myself. I didn't know anybody there. Mm-hmm. And it turned out I had found out about this speaker and his conference because he got interviewed on the podcast that my favorite medium has. Right. And so, you know, very random, unique way yeah. to have found him. And the woman, when I met her on the first day, had heard the exact same podcast episode. And that was why she was there. Mm-hmm. So already there was this, you know, kismet, or, I mean, really, I believe like the universe yeah. brings those things together the way that they're meant to be. So I'd met her already and we sat together the whole conference. But then this other woman, when he's having everybody move forward, puts her purse down on the seat next to me and says, like, is this seat taken? And I'm like, no, you know, you can sit here. And so she hustles around and she's young. She looks like she could be a couple years younger than me. And she's also there by herself. And she's this like super cute, you know, just somebody you look at and you think like, oh, she's got great energy. Yeah. Like, not at all anything that would have made me think about sadness, right? And so then he has us all group up to share and she decides to go first. And you will not believe, Angela, but she shared that she journaled that her best friend had died in a drowning accident like 9 months prior, and that she was really struggling because they had been so close. And as she's talking, like, I smirked. And then I immediately was like, I was smirking to myself. And so, yeah. but I realized I had made that sound and face out loud. And so I'm immediately apologizing, but I knew it. Like, I heard it, you know, in my heart, in my head, the universe being like, look, this is exactly yeah. the person you needed to feel comfortable to be able to share. And so I did. And, you know, the other woman that I had already met and been spending like a day and a half with knew nothing about Orion. I hadn't, you know, I just had said like I was here because I didn't really know why, which was true. Mm-hmm. So I just broke down and like, you know, shared with them. And that was the moment that I felt myself like finally let that burden go. And it's hard because it's so tangible in your soul. And at the same time, it's so intangible to be able to tell somebody else how they can do that for themselves. But that's really what we all have to be working towards, because if you can't let that go, that shame, that guilt, it really just continues to weigh you down. And you can't really find a way ever to move forward fully. And it's hard, but it's also such a gift to do reach that point. So following that, I came back home and I just remember being like, oh my gosh, I feel so much lighter, so much better. And that was in June of last year. So almost exactly a year ago. And at the time I still was like, okay, great. But I don't really know like what's next for me. And after Orion died, I remember spending a lot of time recognizing that it wasn't my time to go yet, as much as I desperately wanted to get to be with Orion.
Yes.
And so then, you know, once you accept that, then asking, well, then what am I doing here? Like, why am I still here then? What's my purpose? And I remember too, one time right after, like a few months after Orion had passed away, having this panicked thought of, oh my God, do I have to like start a charity now or scholarship fund or a philanthropic, you know, thing? Because it felt like that's the way that a lot of people channel their grief, right? They start some scholarship in the name of their son, and that's beautiful. Right. And I love that. But at the time I just remember thinking, that sounds like a lot of work. And I don't have it in me to do that. And And so I remember being overwhelmed at the thought of trying to do something in honor of my son when I was really just trying to survive. But I kept asking that question of like, what's my purpose here? And along the course of all of this, simultaneously, was really this spiritual awakening for me in taking my faith. You know, I had been raised Christian and gone to churches and gone to religious schools. I was very familiar with the Bible and going to, you know, weekly church, and I'd been to mass and I'd been to Sunday school, and I had a very diversified, I was raised Episcopal, but I went to a Lutheran school first and then went to a Catholic school after that. Mm-hmm. So I kind of had been exposed to a lot of different secular religions. But none of that really felt like it supported me. Those beliefs that I had been raised with when Orion died, when it was like when the rubber really met the road. Yeah. And I needed to figure out, what did I really believe? Where did I really think Orion was now? And like, could I still have a connection with him mm-hmm. even after his death? Mm-hmm. And so I went on this like self-led search for answers. And for me, that meant reading every book that I could find. And what really ended up resonating for me was this concept of spirituality, and not the finality of death, but that we do go on to somewhere else. And it's not, you know, this figmentary place in the clouds. It's somewhere that we still stay, our souls here still stay connected to. And specifically in the form of signs, I started getting so many signs from Orion, and he sends me hummingbirds. Mm-hmm. And his dad has his own signs. He gets roadrunners. And it was just so beautiful and something that was so true in my heart. Like, I just knew it. Mm-hmm. Nobody could ever have convinced me otherwise. And after I started recognizing that and really leaning into it, you know, that led on like this whole journey of meditation and mediums and past life regressions and a lot of spiritual concepts that I had never heard of before.
Yeah.
And, you know, being a reader, it took me to a lot of books that were published in like the 80s, the early 90s, things that had been around my whole life. And I remember just being in shock and awe because I'd never heard of any of this stuff. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't all like new age, right? It wasn't somebody who just like popped up with a blog yesterday talking about how they believe in reincarnation. Like, these were people who'd been around for a long time, done a lot of studies and been skeptics of their own mm-hmm. and had found out a lot of information. So I felt so validated by all of these resources. And yet at the same time, I felt really alone because I didn't know anybody in my personal life who talked about this stuff, who believed in this stuff. And even like worse than that, in the beginning, when I would share some of this stuff with friends, and not so much family, but more so, you know, other people that I knew who were religious, I would get shunned and shamed that wasn't Orion sending me hummingbirds. That was the devil tempting me to believe in things that weren't right. That was me idolizing my son when, you know, God is the ultimate and that's the only thing I should believe in or ever speak to or, you know, look to for comfort. And it was so disappointing, really, to hear other people not be able to let me have my own beliefs. And I remember thinking so frequently in the beginning, like, you know, my God is not so tiny that he cares whether a grieving mom is getting comfort from a hummingbird that she believes her son sent her. Wow. Like, my God loves me so much that if that's what helps me, he's more than happy to let me have that.
That's good.
And he's not judging me about it.
That's good. That's so good.
And so then, like, fast forward to October of last year, I've been going through this journey of feeling like I was getting all these signs and really feeling Orion's presence. And at the same time, feeling like nobody else was having those experiences or understood. And then, so for a long time, I stopped talking about the signs. I still was appreciating them. I was receiving them, but I just decided, like, you know what? I don't need anybody else to believe me because these signs are for me. And this is my, you know, private relationship between my God, you know, the universe, Orion, the angels, my team of spirit guides. And like, I don't need it to be with anybody else.
Right.
But then as things, you know, happen that are meant to, I slowly came back around again and started sharing just, you know, subtly little like hints that I would drop here or there with some random people when I felt safe to do so. And I suddenly realized people were responding with like, oh yeah, my grandma sends me butterflies all the time. Or, you know, every time I see a rainbow, I know that that's my mom. Mm-hmm. And I realized there were more people that were receiving signs and who were feeling that connection.
Yeah.
Nobody's talking about it. And, you know, for some people, it's because it's not the end all be all, right? Like they have their own closure. So the signs are just a beautiful bonus. And for other people, it's because they don't want to talk about it because it sounds crazy, or they don't want other people to, you know, give their two cents, or it's so stigmatized and taboo in some circles. And that's when I really started thinking about the grieving mom who felt that connection with their child, desperately wanted to learn more, to deepen it, and didn't have anybody else who knew about these things, who believed in these things, or who maybe wasn't inclined, like either they don't enjoy reading or they don't have the time to, or whatever the, you know, millions of reasons are why people learn the way that they learn. And so I wanted to try and figure out a way to speak to that grieving mom and like let her know she's not alone. It's not crazy. And it's okay to like lean into that, to believe in it, and to continue to build it. And so I started thinking about like, well, what's the easiest, you know, what's the best way to do that? Mm-hmm. And a podcast came to mind. And so in November, like right, like October 31st, I hired a business coach on a 2-month contract because I was like, I don't know anything about starting a podcast or a business, or, you know, I come from a family that's entrepreneurs, but that wasn't something we really discussed of like the ins and outs, especially in a purely online based type existence. Like I knew brick and mortar stuff. So I hired a business coach and then I set a date and I launched my podcast January 20th of this year. And it's called The Selfish Griever because I believe everybody should be empowered and safe in grieving in whatever way best supports them. Mm-hmm. And if that means that you believe in signs and the spiritual, then like that's great. And if that means that you believe in the Bible and, you know, scripture passages are what bring you strength, that is great. And if that means that you believe that there's nothing after this and that you just had the time that you had and now it's over and done, I mean, if that's what comforts you, go with my blessing. Like you should believe that then. I just don't believe in the judgment anymore.
Right.
I want to come from a place of complete love. And, but my, with that being said, you know, in full support of that, my podcast is geared towards, it started as grieving moms seeking spiritual support. And so I find other grieving moms who have had experiences of signs, dream visitations, mediumship experiences that they want to share their stories. Yeah. And so I interview them on the podcast so that other people who are interested can hear and know that they're not the only one. And you know, I say it started for grieving moms because I felt like that's what I knew because I'm a grieving mom, but it has since grown to include grieving parents, and I've connected with grieving dads who come on and share their stories, which I think is so powerful because I just feel like men are really underrepresented in the grief community.
Yeah.
It's, you know, equally hard for them, but it's also different than it is for the women. And I recognize and honor that. So I try not to speak to how men should grieve or can grieve, but I find other grieving dads who are comfortable with sharing because I hope that can help more people. And then ironically enough, I get contacted by a lot of people who almost apologetically will say to me, you know, I'm not a grieving mom, but I really enjoy your podcast because it really helps me, you know, think about things or understand more what my grieving friend is going through. And most recently, you know, Mother's Day was just last month, which is a hard time for a lot of grieving parents. And I did, you know, an episode about some ideas of best ways you could support a grieving mom. And I got this beautiful email from this woman who said that her friend is a grieving mom. Her son passed away in a motorcycle accident when he was 18, and that her son grew up with the deceased, that they, you know, were neighbors. And so they grew up their whole lives together. And she listened to my podcast, and it really helped her feel more comfortable and confident in trying to support that grieving mom on Mother's Day. And that, you know, she's like, I took your advice, and I just told her that I'd be there for her in whatever way she needed. If that meant she needed a girl's day and wanted to go, you know, do all the things and get away from everyone, then, you know, I was her girl. And if that meant that she wanted to pretend like Mother's Day wasn't even happening and it was just another day, that, you know, I could do that with you too. And, you know, that just made me feel so good because I know how lonely it can be when you're a grieving mom and people are afraid because they don't know what to say and they don't know what to do. And sometimes you yourself as the griever don't know what's going to be most helpful. I mean, you're learning and trying to figure it out, especially early on as well. So it just made me feel so good to know that that grieving mom got some extra support that day. And also that that friend had more confidence in and felt more comfortable in being able to approach and support her friend because clearly she wanted to. You know, it was something she felt called to. She just didn't know how to do it. And I was able to help her think of some ways to do that. So it's really the mission has grown to expand more than I ever would have imagined when I, you know, started just really 5 months ago. But
wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Wow. So much, so much. I just love it. I love it. We're going to rewind just a little bit and go back to Orion.
Yeah.
With Orion getting up in the middle of the night, is that something that he did often?
Or no.
It's just, wow. Wow.
No, he normally was the one. So Maverick was normally the one who would wake up in the middle of the night to come like crawl into bed with me. And Orion was the one who, he was not a snuggler. So for as much as he liked physical affection in terms of being picked up, he did not really, he didn't enjoy being hugged. You know, if he sat with you on the couch, he would snuggle up behind your shoulder. So like in a way where he had physical closeness, but he wasn't confined. Like you didn't put your arm around him. Yeah. And so at night when he slept, he did not like to snuggle. And Maverick, on the other hand, I mean, that child wants to sleep like cheek to cheek with me. and if you move away from him, he would scoot closer in his sleep.
Right.
So no, Orion never woke up in the middle of the night like that. And also, you know, when you think about, for me, that brings up thinking about the way that things happened uniquely that night that led to, you know, him dying. And another piece of that was that Maverick didn't wake up the entire night.
Yeah.
So, you know, we had at one point at probably at least 10 first responders in the house. Every light was on, you know, people are talking, things are happening. It was not quiet and calm and serene. And Maverick already had a predisposition to waking up during the night, and he slept through all of it.
Wow.
He never once moved. And people, you know, were checking the room, checking on him continuously. And I really, from the beginning, felt like that was such a gift, because Maverick has no traumatizing memories. Mm. I mean, obviously he has his own trauma because he went to bed and his brother was there. And when he woke up, his brother was gone. Mm. And that's, you know, all he knows. And he did go through his own separation anxiety for a long time, but he didn't witness, you know, strangers in the house. He didn't see them trying to work on his brother. He didn't see me. Like, I mean, obviously I was still grieving, but I was in such shock.
Yeah.
Like, I couldn't have been present for him had he woken up. So it was a gift for him, and it was a gift really for me that I had that, those hours to myself, mm-hmm. to be able to just be totally consumed with myself and what was like the immediate next step that I needed to do that night.
Yeah.
So, and you know, and there's other things that it's like, if any one thing hadn't happened, then Orion wouldn't have made it to the backyard. But I don't tell myself that that means that Orion wouldn't have died, because I really believe that we all have our predetermined, you know, entry points of when we're going to be born and our exit points of when we're going to die. And, you know, to some extent, those can maybe be shifted a little bit. Like, there were two times over the summer that I saved Orion from drowning. And it was actually because I was so present and right there, but mm-hmm. he loved the pool. And he just was like, you know, a moth to the flame. The minute that the gate was open, he was beelining for that pool. And so we, you know, as a result, made adjustments and tried to have more safety measures. But I even believe that those experiences were for my psyche to know that I wasn't an irresponsible mom. Like, mm-hmm. when I was there, he was safe, and I saved him even from close calls, and I made adjustments as I could. But for me, ultimately, what really like stripped me down to like my bare essence was this loss of belief that I could control everything.
Yeah.
Because up to that point, that's how I lived my life. Everything, there was a problem, I could find a solution and fix it. And I could control and prevent stuff. And I couldn't, there was nothing I could have done any differently with what I knew at that time. Yeah. And there's nothing I could do after he died to change it, to bring him back, to make it all go away.
Yeah.
So.
And that's what we as moms struggle with so much. Had it been another 5 minutes, had I mm-hmm. waited to leave, or had I stayed home? I was away on vacation when Alana, I like to say, moved to heaven. So I was away. So it was, should I have stayed? You know, we all struggle with those types of things going through this journey. One more thing about that night. Did you just wake up and just felt that, or were you just a mom just checking on your, what woke you up that night to say, do I need, you know, was it a restroom thing? What?
Yeah. Yeah. So we had a baby monitor set up and we didn't hear anything. Mm. And I mean, which even also is another thing that goes to speak to kind of the weirdness of that night. But my mom was not there that night, which also, you know, was its own blessing. It was her home, but we were there visiting, and she had actually left the day before to go on a trip. And her dog would sleep in a kennel in her room down the hallway overnight. And so her dog started crying in the middle of the night to go out to go to the bathroom. And I was sleeping in another bedroom down the hall. I heard that, and I somehow didn't hear, the bedroom I was sleeping in was off the patio that you have to go through to get to the pool. And the next day we found evidence that like Orion had clearly been playing around, right? Like things were moved.
Yeah.
There were rocks that had been thrown into the pool that were not there before from like my mom's landscaping. So he had been kind of like out there having a good old time doing his thing. And before he got into the pool, which is like knowing him, that's totally understandable and his, the way he operated. So the fact that I didn't hear anything when that room has a window right off the patio, I didn't hear any of that, but I heard the dog all the way down the hallway in her, you know, behind a closed door in her crate, whining and scratching, not barking, just whining and scratching. And I got up to let her out. And that's when I realized the window to the boys' room was lit up. The light was on. And I remember initially, you know, you're groggy and sleepy. Yeah. It was like 11:45 at night. And I remember just thinking like, that's odd. That's not how I left it. Uh-huh. And then, you know, walking around the corner. So I'd opened the sliding glass door to let the dog out. And then there's wrought iron gates that run the length of the patio from floor to ceiling. And so they're heavy and they're loud because they're on, you know, metal rollers on metal rails. And normally you'd need to open those for the dog to get to the yard and, you know, access to the pool and everything else out there. And so I had opened the sliding glass door and the dog had run out. And I was distracted thinking about the light. And so I shut the door and walked around to check the bedroom door. And it was wide open and every single light on was in there.
Wow.
Every single light was on in their room. Maverick was asleep on his back. So not even face down where like maybe the light wouldn't have bothered him. He was fully facing up and out, just completely passed out. So exhausted. And, you know, Orion would have a hard time going to sleep. And we were in that awkward transition phase out of cribs because the boys were big enough to climb out of their cribs, which was dangerous, into toddler beds. But they like weren't old enough or mature enough yet to understand, like, you get into bed and you stay in bed. Uh-huh. So there had been times when I had like found Orion just, you know, passed out on the floor, like halfway underneath his toddler bed, or, you know, he would just fall asleep basically wherever when he ran out of steam.
Yeah.
That was like where he, you know, fell asleep. So initially I didn't panic. I just thought like, okay, he's somewhere around in this room. And I looked all over, and when I couldn't find him in there, then I turned off the light and then I checked around. There's another like small side dog yard that, that Orion used to love to go in there and play. And I thought, well, maybe he like figured out, you know, maybe he went that way over there. And like, so I went and checked that room and that yard, and it had its own fence and things. So it was closed off access to anything else. And I couldn't find him anywhere out there. And when I was standing out there is when I realized, oh my God, I didn't have to open the gate for the dog to get to the yard.
Wow.
And that's when I ran around and I could see that the gate was, it wasn't like thrown wide open. Well, it slid. So it wasn't like it was slid super far open, but it was open enough that, you know, he could have gotten through, and that the dog got through. And then it's, you know, direct like line of sight, and I could see the pool, and you know, and so I knew immediately like where he was. And it's, I mean, in those moments you just think like you want a do-over. Right. You want a rewind button. And I just remember being like, you know, no, like, God, take this back.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
This isn't, you know, this can't be right. And like, you need to, you know, give me like one more chance. Like, I, you know, I messed up, but give me another shot. And I remember after that, it was hard for me because then you start to hear, you know, all these stories about not just drownings, but like close calls or accidents, and, you know, rushing children to the hospital and then them making a miraculous recovery, and people talking about like, you know, I just prayed really hard and then like God gifted me back my child and God made it, you know, better. And I'm not saying that that's wrong. I mean, there, like, I do believe in miracles and stuff, but as a mom who didn't get their child back, there was initially this story that ran through my head of like, did I not pray hard enough?
Right.
Was I too in shock in that moment that I didn't say the right things to God to get my second chance?
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, as I worked through it, I came to a different place of acceptance that wasn't, this is how it was meant to be. And it's now led me to this, not only what I'm doing now with the podcast, but even just, I live my life completely differently than I did before. Mm-hmm. And I believe like I'm a better parent to mm-hmm. Maverick now and will be moving forward. My whole perspective has shifted, and I'm crafting both for myself and for Maverick a much more intentional life than I ever did before.
Yeah.
And there's real beauty in that. And I am grateful. I think that Orion's soul agreed to only be here for the 2.5 years, because that was a plan that we both, you know, came up with together. But recognizing that, like, that was the catalyst that was going to be needed to create this whole new trajectory for my life, for Maverick's life, for other, you know, family members and our surrounding, you know, soul family, as we call it. And what we're all meant to be here learning and doing in this lifetime.
That's so good. That's so good for me. And I'm believing that it's helping other moms, because like you, I'm a huge reader. Anything I can get my hands on as far as heaven, spiritual things, I gotta have it. It's like I have to feed my soul this. I need to know where Alana is. I choose to say heaven. What other moms choose, you know, like you said, you know, that's you, and I embrace that. I'm big. I'm huge. I have probably YouTubed every NDE out there.
Mm.
So with you saying that the timing, and you agreed and your son agreed, and I'm reading about this stuff, and I'm you know, hearing YouTubing this stuff. So just to have someone else, you know, kind of confirm, you know, this is a possibility. This is a possibility that before we come.
Sorry, my son.
It's okay. It's okay.
Maverick, can you go say hi?
Hi.
Hi.
Gorgeous.
I can't. Yeah. No, listen.
Oh, you can't hear her? It's because I have headphones on.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Alana. I hope this isn't too hard to edit out.
Okay.
Maverick, can you go find your daddy, please?
Okay.
I'll be out in just a minute, okay?
Look at those.
Sorry, his dad took him swimming, and I don't know where his dad is right now, but he's clearly doesn't have Maverick. So,
and
anyway, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Something that he still loves.
Oh, no. How did I lose you?
I can hear you.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Yeah. I can hear you now. Go ahead.
I can hear you. It's something that Maverick is coming out of the water. He still loves to swim. Isn't that something?
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
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 Yeah. Beautiful. Beautiful. Yeah. So everything you are saying and describing, I'm just kind of like, check, check, check. You know, that, you know, I mm-hmm. just, once you lose your child, no matter what you've been raised in, no matter what religion, belief that you've been raised in, you become open to other things. And that's just what it is, because you're looking for answers. You're looking for answers. Every time I see butterflies, hi, Alana, dragonflies, you know, it's just signs for us. Red robins in my yard all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I've lived in my house for 16 years. I never saw, Alana's favorite color is purple. I never saw purple flowers in my yard until after she moved to heaven. So you just become more open. Songs that we sang together come on at the right time. I hear them at the right time. So it's just, you're more open. It's not that you're going away from what you, you know, believed as a child growing up. It's not that you're throwing that away. You're not. It's just you become more open to, I see. I feel more of the spiritual. More of the spiritual. Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely. I feel so expanded is really, and now so many things that, you know, where Jesus's teachings resonate with me on just a totally different level than they ever did before. Things that I'm like, okay, now I can understand, I can grasp. And not just, you know, because my son died, but because of all the things that I've learned since then and new concepts I've been exposed to that just, broadened all my horizons and brought, you know, me back to things that I knew initially, but I just have a much deeper appreciation for now.
Wonderful. So before we get ready to let you go, because I can go on and on. I can go on and on, especially on the spiritual, especially on that. Tell the moms where they can reach you, or do you have your social media, and if you have any books or anything, your podcast. Let all the moms know where they can reach you.
Yeah. So, my podcast is called The Selfish Griever, and you can Google that and it'll come up. It's on multiple platforms, but I also have a website that's theselfishgriever.com, and you can find me on Instagram is really, I think, the best place. And that's, at The Selfish Griever, but I'm also on Facebook.
Yeah.
I just feel like my community is a little bit more robust on the Instagram side of things than Facebook. Mm-hmm. So, but I'm, you know, there on both. So yeah, that's the best way to find me. And, you know, as I recently quit my part-time job to do the podcast full-time and am really following my intuition on what other avenues and areas that's going to lead me into as far as like how else to support the grieving community. And so as those things, you know, start to come to fruition, I'll be announcing and sharing those on social media and the podcast. But for right now, I'm like 2 weeks in to being a full-time podcaster. So I'm really just trying to stay, you know, focused and honed in on perfecting that before I start, you know, adding in more things. And I want, you know, I want everything to be of the greatest service to whoever's checking in. So I try to make sure that I'm not spreading myself too thin, trying to do everything at once. So for right now, it's just the podcast.
Yeah. I get it. So this is my last question before you go. I ask all my mamas, and you can say whatever you believe. So Whitney, what is your hopes of heaven? What does heaven look like to you?
So it's funny because I've listened to some of your episodes. So I knew this question was coming and I was like, okay, prepare, you know, what is it that you want to say? And ironically enough, what I wanted to say is something that has then been echoed back to me in like the last week since I started thinking about my answer from other people. And I just love the way the universe does that, like confirmation. Uh-huh. Not that you need validation for your beliefs, but it feels like it's a yes, you're on the right track. Uh-huh. You know, yes, that's a powerful message to share. And so for me, my hopes of heaven are that heaven is not far away in some other ethereal place. Heaven is right here next to you. And heaven is a lot like what it's like here, you know, like souls are there with purpose, doing things, helping other souls on the other side and helping souls here. And so it's the separation is like as thin as a sheet of paper.
Yeah.
And, you know, they are right here with you and calling on them, recognizing the signs, inviting them into your life is what makes that connection between that heaven that's, you know, right here with us. And you can feel that everybody can do that for themselves. It's not reserved for the special few.
Whitney, I love it. I love it. I love your hopes of heaven. I love that interpretation. So I just want to thank you again for joining us today. I know that your message has encouraged so many of us and just opened our eyes to just different little things. And that's all it takes. That's all we need are just those little things that'll help us through the next minute, the next day, the next week. You know, people will remember what you said on this podcast and it'll help push them through. So
thank you.
I thank you for showing people your purpose, because that's the purpose of my podcast is moms. There's a purpose out here for you. You just got to find it. Just keep pushing and it'll click. You'll know this is what I'm supposed to do.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So I just want to thank you for joining me.
Thank you so much, Angela.
All right. Thank you. Yeah. Enjoyed you today. Bye-bye.